Good afternoon. I have enjoyed so much being with all of you today and worshiping our God together, and I've especially enjoyed all of the songs that we've sung about heaven today and thinking about that. It's been a good day for me. I hope it's been a good day for you as well as we've worshiped our God. And most importantly, we pray that God has been pleased with the things that we've done here today. If you have your Bible, would you open it up to the book of Psalms in Psalm 119? We'll begin reading in verse 97 here in just a moment. That's Psalm 119 and verse 97. After introducing that concept of meditation this morning, I want to take it a step further tonight. And we might call this level 2 meditation. Just by way of really quick reminder of the things that we talked about this morning, biblical meditation is about filling your mind with the Word of God and questions and concepts and imagination relating to God, His Word, and the things pertaining to Him. And several of the words in the original languages of Greek and Hebrew are translated meditate, and as we said, they mean to mutter, to murmur, to speak quietly to yourself, to converse with yourself, and to think deeply. And we use some images like replowing the same ground over and over and over again in your mind, digging those wells as you cross the desert. And that idea of really digging deeply into God's Word and what God's Word is really saying. And most all of us who are Christians do this kind of thing. We've done this kind of thing for a long time, whether we called it meditation or not, to one degree or another. But it is so much easier and so much better if we're going to meditate throughout the day if we are able to call to mind the verse and see and remember what it says without having to look it up or listen to it. To mutter or speak quietly to ourselves the actual words of the verse. And we call that memorization. And so tonight, let's talk about His laws written on my heart, memorization for meditation, so that we might meditate in an easier way, in a more effective way. Let's talk a little bit tonight about memorization and what that looks like for a Christian. In Psalm 119, you remember Psalm 119 is a psalm that's all about God's Word and God's law. And what the psalmist does in this psalm is he takes every letter in the Hebrew alphabet and he takes 8 verses for each letter and he begins each verse, each line with that letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And so at the beginning of each one, you see that letter in Hebrew and then it's transliterated for us into what that sounds like in English. And so in verse 97 through verse 104, we see one of those sections. And it's interesting, ironic, providential, I don't know. But this section that is really about meditation and memorization, it begins with the Hebrew letter mem, M-E-M, like memorization, right? So let's begin reading in verse 97. David says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I observe them, I practice them, I'm devoted to them." Verse 101. "I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way." In this section, he talks about how the Word and His law is his meditation all the day. His testimonies are his meditation. And because of that, he's wise. Because of that, he has understanding. Because of that, he's able to do what it is God would have him do. Because of that, he's able to keep himself from every evil way. And he understands and hates the ways that are false.
all because he loves God's law and thinks about God's law and is able to bring to mind God's law when he needs it. So let's be like David and be taught by God. Make his law and testimonies our meditation all the day, that we might have wisdom. Memorization has always been an important part of Bible study. And maybe in some ways it's less important today, now that we can carry a Bible in our pocket and on our phone, or we have access to the Bible and in such an unprecedented way in any other time in history. But even still, memorization is still important for us as well. I want to give you an example of memorization from Matthew chapter 1. And we see that folks in the first century memorized large sections of what we would call the New Testament today. We see some indication of that, for example, in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 17. This is at the conclusion of the genealogy of Jesus. All of the ancestors of Jesus, from David all the way back to Abraham. And so in verse 17, Matthew, Levi, the tax collector, says this as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit. "So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations. From David until the captivity in Babylon are 14 generations. And from the captivity in Babylon until the Christ are 14 generations." Now here's my question. Why did he describe the genealogy that way? Put it another way, is that literally true that there are 14 generations in all three of those cases? Well, we know that it's not, in a literal sort of sense. This is an incomplete genealogy when we piece together genealogies from the Old Testament. People were missing in this genealogy. And here's the thing. Matthew, Levi, he knew that. And Jewish readers who were familiar with the Old Testament, they would have known that too. And we know it as we study our Old Testaments as well. And so this was not a mistake that was made in the Gospels. Instead, we think about Matthew. What was his occupation? He was a tax collector. And what did you have to be good at in order to be a tax collector? You had to be good at math, and you had to be good at record keeping, which makes you really, really good at genealogies like this. And for him to say it's 14 generations and 14 generations and 14 generations, there's a purpose for that. And may I suggest that one of these purposes in writing to his audience, who could fact check these genealogies by going down to the synagogue and looking it up for themselves, he wrote it this way. One of the reasons was as a mnemonic device, so that they might be able to remember this genealogy when talking to their Jewish friends and families about Jesus and where Jesus came from. How are you going to tell another Jew that Jesus was actually a descendant of David without running to the local synagogue and looking it up and saying, "See, I told you so, it's right there"? Especially if you were illiterate. If you couldn't read, how are you going to share that with someone else? By memorizing it. And apparently that's what they did. And what better way to memorize it than to have three groups of 14, which all end at a logical point in that progression? And even, it's interesting, again, letters had numerical value in the ancient world and in Hebrews especially. And that name David, if you add up all the letters, it adds up to 14. You have lots of things here in our text that help you to memorize, if you're a Jew in the first century and want to convert your friends and neighbors who are Jewish, help you to memorize this genealogy so that you might share it with others. And memorization, not just of genealogies and things of that nature, but memorizing other large portions of Scripture was a natural part of Bible study for them. And sometimes, if you were illiterate, it was absolutely essential to your Bible study, because memorization and meditation is what you had at your disposal. You couldn't go and read the scroll because you were unable to read it. So thank God. Thank God we live in a time when you're taught to read, and basically everyone is taught to read, even in our public schools. You have that opportunity. But it doesn't take away from the fact that memorization can be helpful to us as well. We have such easy access to the Bible, able to carry it around in our pocket, but it doesn't mean that memorization isn't still valuable for us. This morning, we talked about how do I meditate.
I'm not sure what I said there. That wasn't even an accent. I don't know what that was. I'm out of practice a little bit. I'm getting back into this. How do I meditate? Well, I read, right? I listen to somebody else reading, and then I reflect or I think about the things that are read. Let me add two other things if we want to get to level two in regard to our meditation. The next thing you might do, and this is really helpful to you in memorization as well, is to copy the scriptures. Writing the word for yourself, word by word. So what is the benefit of this? Well, a number of things. May I suggest, first and foremost, it slows us down and forces us to consider the passage word by word. Who are the most famous people, for under Judaism at least, for copying the law? Do you remember what they were called? They were called scribes. And scribes were known as experts in the law. Why? Because they sat around and copied it word by word as their occupation. And so it makes sense that they would know and remember and understand the law in an excellent sort of way. And they did so, this copying, with incredible accuracy and attention to detail and reverence for the word of God. It doesn't really apply to what we're talking about tonight, but I find it interesting when they came to Yahweh, when they came to the name of the Lord, you know what a scribe would do in the ancient world, a Jewish scribe? When they got to that name, they would go and wash their hands, they would write the name of God, then they would go and wash their hands again before they kept writing. I mean, that's just incredible to me, that kind of reverence and respect. And maybe that's cleansing the outside of the dish and that's just a show. But what we see is that many of these men actually had good hearts. They were trying to do what God wanted them to do, and they were doing this as a way of service to God in what they were doing. And what we would see is that they would check and recheck the things that they wrote down. Scribes would count the number of letters and words on each line, what they were copying, and then what they wrote down in their copy, the number of letters and the number of words. They would count the number of lines on the page, and for each line, count the number of words and the number of letters. Then they would take the whole page and count how many words and how many letters for the whole page. And if any of those calculations were off, you know what they would do? They would erase the whole thing and start over from line one. Now, I'm not saying that you have to have that same attention to detail, but there is something powerful about copying the scriptures for ourselves. And memorization takes that a step further and has several really helpful applications for us. And that would be the last thing that I would like to talk about in regard to meditating. We read, we listen to someone else reading, we think about it and consider it, we copy it down for ourselves, and then we memorize it where it is actually in our mind and heart where we can recall it. So, biblical memorization does some things for us. Consider three things. First, memorizing forces us to see what the text really actually says. A number of years ago, I memorized Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, where it talks about every spiritual blessing that we have in Christ Jesus in the heavenly places. And it's interesting that if you don't use it, you what? You lose it. And so I've gone back through and I'm re-memorizing that, and it makes it easy to do because I've already done it once. And I'm moving on now, and I'm memorizing all of Ephesians 1, and then I'm going to try and memorize all the book of Ephesians. Check on me in a couple of months and see how I do on that. Hold my feet to the fire. But as I was going through a couple of years ago and memorizing that for the first time, it was really helpful to me. Because it was funny how many times I'm going through and I'm checking myself on my memorization, and what I thought it said was actually a little bit off from what it actually said. And I got a couple of sermons out of looking at that and saying, wait, this is what it actually says here in the text. It's crazy how many times in that process we leave out a phrase or we leave out a part of the verse and it slightly changes the meaning, or maybe it doesn't change the meaning, but we don't have the same depth of what it says. If we memorize it word for word, then we have to know exactly what it really says.
And that's helpful to us, if really every word and phrase is there for a reason, as we would suggest it is. Secondly, biblical memorization allows us to access the Scriptures anywhere, at any time. Now, that's one of the things that we talked about with meditation this morning, that this is something that anyone can do at any place, at any time. And if you have those Scriptures memorized, then you can access those Scriptures anywhere. And we might break down this concept of memorizing things to bring them up later in two categories. We might memorize swords and shields against temptation. This is when we take a verse or a couple of verses and memorize those things so that we might bring them up in moments where we really need them. That concept is taken from Ephesians chapter 6, if you'd like to turn over there in your Bibles. Ephesians chapter 6. This section begins in verse 10, but we'll read verses 16 and 17. As he is describing this whole armor of God, he's describing a soldier that looks like this. And then he's making a comparison to all of the things that God gives us in armor and weaponry and so forth to fight the spiritual battle that is before us. So notice verses 16 and 17 specifically. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, a couple of things jump out to me as we consider what this is describing here. There are two types of swords that soldiers would have used in Paul's day. One is a big, long, broad sword that you would take big, long, sweeping strokes with. But that's not what Paul refers to in this passage. Instead, he refers to this other type of sword, this smaller, shorter sword, or double-edged dagger, you might even call it, no more than a foot or two long, that would have been used in close combat. And every Roman soldier would have had one of these swords with him at all time. Paul doesn't leave us guessing what sword he refers to. He calls it the sword of, or supplied by, the Spirit. And it's the Word of God. That's what this sword is. But it's not just the word for sword that is specific. The short sword, that this dagger that every soldier carried and had with him at all times. But the word for word is specific as well. Usually, we think about that word logos, the word that is written by God. But instead of logos, it's the word rhema, for the spoken word of God. And it probably refers to talking or speaking a particular passage of Scripture. Not so much Scripture as a category, that I have the Bible with me, the Word of God in its entirety at all times, but instead I have these verses, we would call them, that I can speak, that I carry with me all the time. And so I'm ready in those moments of spiritual battle and temptation to pull out the Word of God, not abstractly the whole Bible, but the Bible as it's used and proclaimed practically and specifically. Paul wants us to know and use Scripture that we've memorized in our fight against Satan. And we have a perfect example of that in Jesus Christ himself, don't we? What did Jesus do in Matthew chapter 4 when he's tempted by the devil? Let's turn over there together and read it, a passage with which you probably have great familiarity. But let's look at it from this perspective of Jesus using the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, that short sword that he carries with him everywhere. Memorize Scripture. Beginning in verse 1, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Now, I understand that Jesus was the Son of God. I understand that he had all wisdom and power and so on and so forth. But did Jesus say to Satan, "Hang on a second, I know there's a verse for that. Let me get out my scroll and look." Yeah, here it is right here, Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Of course not. It was in his mind and in his heart, and it came out his mouth to parry the attack of Satan when it came at him. Keep reading, verse 5. Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.'" And Jesus said to him, "It is written again, 'You shall not tempt the Lord your God.'" Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. So Jesus quotes from what we would call Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3, Deuteronomy 6, 16, and Deuteronomy 6 and verse 13. These are basically just individual verses of Scripture. But it's from a section of Scripture, interestingly, that Deuteronomy specifically says that parents are supposed to teach their children diligently. Apparently, that's what happened with Jesus and his parents. And he knew these scriptures, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, the spoken word, to respond to the devil when he was attacked. As an aside, parents, you know when the best time for memorization is? When you're young, when you're a child. These kids have an incredible capacity to remember large amounts of information. And we're derelict in our duties if we are not, as their parents, helping them to memorize different things. There are so many things that I have memorized now. And the reason why I have them memorized, it's not like Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. If you don't use it, you lose it. I have it, and it's in there permanently because I was taught it when I was a child. And there are lots of resources that you can use in this. There's several good CDs or even available to download with songs in this regard. I think about music memory builders. That's something that my mom did with us kids. Something Stephanie does with our girls is something called Each Little Dewdrop, and others as well. These songs or chants that can help us to memorize different parts of scriptures. My favorite scripture, or one of my favorite scriptures, is Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. And I quote it with great regularity because I think it's so powerful. You know how I learned that? I learned it as a song when I was 5 years old. My voice is very deep right now, so let me see if I can do this. "I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." That's in there. It's not going anywhere. When I'm old and senile, if I live to that time, that song is still going to be stuck in there. And that verse, and meditating on that verse through my life, has been incredibly powerful in who I am as a Christian, because it describes exactly what I've done with my life. And before I even knew the power of that verse, I had it committed to memory. And it's a gift. It's a gift that my parents gave me that I didn't even know was the gift. And so I think that's something we need to do with our kids, but in a broader sense, memorizing, as Jesus memorized here in Matthew chapter 4, allows us to have access to the Scriptures at a moment's notice, in the moment of temptation, not afterwards. I want you to imagine that you're driving home, right? And somebody cuts you off in traffic. Now, what do? Do you pull over and get out your phone and say, "All right, I'm going to Google verses about anger and bad language"? I mean, is that what you're going to do? Or do you pull out the sword of the Spirit and quote scriptures that are helpful to make you react in the way that you're supposed to react, and say it out loud, speak the word, so that you might act in the way that you're supposed to act? In a moment of trial or temptation, we need to have the sword of the Spirit ready and unpacked, memorized, to help us achieve what it is we're going for there. Let me give you three examples. James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Very, very helpful to me in regard to anger, as we talked about this morning. What about in regard to worry and putting my priorities in the right place? Well, the scripture that I have memorized for that, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And then one that I've been doing here lately. This is always dangerous to say something like this. I don't do a lot of bad things in my life. But one of the things I struggle with sometimes is I know I'm supposed to do something, something in a positive sense, and I don't want to do it. And so this is the background to my computer screen right now. This is from God's Word, paraphrase, I believe. But I really like the image and the way these colors emphasize do what is right in yellow there. But it's from James chapter 4 and verse 17, which in the New King James says, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. This paraphrase says, if you don't do what is right, you have sinned. Well, that's pretty powerful. When I don't want to do things that I know I need to be doing as a Christian, well, I need to remember this verse, and it encourages me. The sword of the Spirit comes out against whatever it is that's keeping me from that, selfishness mainly. And I'm going to fight the devil with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God in that regard. And so there are lots of other examples. I want you to think about what swords of the Spirit do you need to remember in order to fight off the devil in that same way. But the second way that we can access the Scriptures anywhere and anytime, instead of memorizing a verse or a few verses that we can pull out at a moment's notice, it's also helpful to memorize large sections of Scripture in their context. Maybe this is level three, if you want to put it in those terms. Doing so in context protects us from misapplication and misunderstanding. And it's really a powerful thing if we have a goal that we want to achieve in that, like, I'm going to memorize the book of Ephesians, and I set out for that goal, and I achieve that goal to have the Word in me to that extent. After Ephesians, my goal is to memorize the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, how cool would that be? A preview of coming events. If I do that, I might just get up here and recite the Sermon on the Mount sometimes. I mean, how neat would it be to have memorized Jesus's most powerful sermon? And so doing that is certainly helpful to us in understanding and seeing the context of those things and how they were written. And then the third thing, if we have it accessible and know what it really says, memorizing helps us in making connections between texts. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 2 and verse 17. On this occasion, Jesus cleanses the temple and he drives out the money changers and overturns the tables. And this is crazy, right? Or at least it is in the eyes of many of the Jews. But it wasn't crazy for his disciples. In John chapter 2 and verse 17, if I can get over there, Jesus says in verse 16, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. Then in verse 17, then his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. Now that's a quotation from the Psalms, Psalm 69, I believe. How did they know and remember that the Psalm said that and make connection to what Jesus was doing? Because most Jews memorized large sections of the Psalms, especially those Psalms that had messianic implications. And so what were they able to do because of that memorization? They were able to see what was before them, our Scripture, our New Testament Scripture that is preserved here by John, and make connection to the Old Testament and say, wait a second, there's a reason why Jesus is doing this. And we can make those same kinds of connections as well. If we have something memorized, somebody says something in a sermon, and we say, wait a second, that reminds me of something else. Our friend or coworker talks about something that's going on in their life. And we say, that reminds me of something that I have memorized. Or maybe even they quote a scripture or ask a question about a scripture. And we say, wait a second, that reminds me of something I have memorized. And it's amazing how often that will happen if we get the Word of God in our hearts to that degree. So, in the next couple of minutes, as we bring our lesson to a close, just as we did with meditation, how do I memorize? Well, what it really takes, and we'll get into a few specifics, but what it really takes are some common elements. However you go about memorization, it takes commitment. I mean, you have to decide that this is something you're going to do and stick with it, that this is important and I want to do it. And maybe it's not for everyone, but certainly most of us can benefit greatly from having some scriptures memorized. But not just commitment, there has to be some repetition involved, that I'm going to go over this and go over this and go over this. And really, that's what meditation is, right? We're replowing the same ground over and over again. We're digging those wells. Well, that's what we're doing in regard to memorization as well. And maybe this is, you know, chicken or the egg, memorization and meditation, but if I'm going to memorize, I also have to meditate. There has to be some thinking about what it is that I'm memorizing so that I have the proper level of understanding. If I am just remembering words, it's not going to stick very well or very long. I remember when I was in high school, I was in one-act play, and the director of those one-act plays, I still consider him a friend to this day, Mike Winner is his name. And Mr. Winner, I remember he stopped the play in the middle of a rehearsal one time, and he called out the person who was speaking, and he said, "What did you just say?" Well, this person had their lines memorized. They said, "Well, I said such and such, such and such, such and such." And he said, "Okay, what does that mean?" To which they said, Now, why did he do that? For lots of reasons, right? If you understand what it means, obviously you're going to put the right emphasis on the correct syllables. You're going to put the right emphasis in your acting on the things that you need to be emphasizing. But it also helps a great deal with retaining and memorizing if you understand what it is that you're saying. If you're meditating with an emphasis on what does this mean, you're going to help. It's going to help you both ways, right? It's going to help you to understand what it says, and understanding what it says helps you to understand what it means. And then finally, there is review, not just repetition. Once you get it, once it's in there, you got to do like me and you realize, well, Ephesians 1, 3 through 14, I don't have it down as well as I once did, so I'm going to go back and I'm going to look at it again so that I might have that in my mind and in my heart. Now, getting down to the nitty-gritty and specifics, there's lots of different ways we can memorize and practice our memorization. In today's world, there are some really, really good apps, some free apps, some that you can buy, that have games that will help you in memorization with the scriptures specifically. Games like Tap to Reveal, where you say it in your head and then you tap the screen and it says the next word or the next phrase, or you type the first letter of the next word, or you choose every fourth word out of a word bank. Maybe you choose the right words from that bank or have scrambled words that you have to put in the right order. All of those things are little brain games that can be helpful to us in memorizing the scripture. Maybe you have it on your phone and you listen to it over and over and over again. You have it playing as you're doing different things throughout your day. If you want to go low tech, have that pad where you copied the scripture and wrote it out. Have that pad with you, you know, in the kitchen. Have it with you when you're folding clothes so that you can say it. If you get stuck, you can go and look and remember what it is that you said. Or maybe you write the verses on index cards that you can carry with you. I did that a lot in college when I was studying because I didn't like studying very much. So I just kind of kept it with me. If I had to stand in line, I'd pull it out and I'd go over those things. Well, the same thing would apply to Scripture. And something interesting, a game that you can play with yourself, maybe it'll make our sermons more interesting. If Harold or I go to a reference and it's one of the things that you're working on memorizing, well, say it to yourself as we're reading it and see how you do in regard to that. All I really want to do tonight is encourage you to give it a try. Try this.
because I think it can be something that could be really beneficial to your Christian life. Not just meditation, but level two meditation, memorization, where we get the word into our minds, we get the word into our hearts, and as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And certainly in regard to our actions, the things that we're going to do are a result of what's in our heart. So let God be in our heart. Let the scriptures be in our heart. And let us serve him in sincerity and in truth, because we know what that truth is. And if you're not yet a Christian tonight, we pray that you would come to know God in that way. And aren't we grateful? One of those great and beautiful blessings found in Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 14, is that God revealed himself to us. He made known his will, that we might know him and accept his grace. And we ask, we plead, we implore that you would accept God's grace even tonight, that you would come in humble submission to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. And if you're already a Christian, you realize that you've not been living the way you ought, and you've wandered away from God. Meditation on the things of God on a daily basis is something that can be so helpful to you. But that begins with repentance. And we'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. We'll do what we can to help you to start back down that right path. All you have to do is come now, while together we stand and while we sing.